Progressive Radio Network.
So long, January. Good riddance. You know, January is such a kind of a bleak month for me. I don't know. It's a sun deprivation, lack of vitamin D. And perhaps it was the 30 inches of snow that fell on the tri-state area. But with the 60-degree weather, 60-degree weather! I love it. It's pretty much all gone. Just like some of the assholes that had to give up in the caucus on Monday. Can you believe this country that we live in? Oh my God, it's frightening. I don't care what party you're in. It's frightening. It really is. And of course, it's a very exciting weekend coming up here. Most televised sporting event, actually any televised event in the world. Super Bowl! That's right, can you feel it? This Sunday, 6 o'clock, Denver Broncos, Carolina Panthers. Mayhem. Is it Manning's last game? Oh, Christ, I don't know. But there's some really cool stuff, aspects to the game. And we're going to get to some fun stuff right here. Keep that theme music going. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? Have you seen the commercial? It's on the web. Seal. Remember Seal? Yeah. The very luckiest man in the world. Well, former luckiest man in the world. He was married to Heidi Klum until, I guess she said, Seal, you're not putting out any more hit records or hit singles, so I'm going to leave you. Because I am. I'm a supermodel, superwoman. I can do anything I want. Anyway, I don't know how this got started, but there is a parody of his song, Kiss from a Rose, that apparently was put together because so many babies are conceived during Super Bowl games. Who would have thunk, right? So that's the fun aspect. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But now, we're going to talk about some of the real issues of the NFL. Because I started thinking about this the other day. Because, you know, would you think that, you know, if you have a very lucrative career as an NFL player, for example, Ryan Murphy, okay, he's probably certainly not a well paid player in the NFL. Broncos rookie safety for Denver. But he was caught the other day, not really with his junk in his hand, but I guess in an attempt for solicitation. So it just boggles my mind when these guys have such a great opportunity in their life to do something for themselves. And they just F it up. They totally F it up. I just don't get it. So long, apparently they're inside a car. With his brother. Ryan's inside of his car. Sources said that and they were questioned and released by police. However, the brother was suspected that he and a prostitute had something going on, so he was cited. But they also said that his brother, Ryan's brother, that was his girlfriend. So it goes back and forth. Who knows? But apparently the head coach, Gary Kubiak of Denver, released a statement Tuesday night that said, although practice squad safety Ryan Murphy was not cited by police, we decided it was best for the team if we committed our preparations for Super Bowl 50 without him. So long, Ryan Murphy. Let's hear that music again. So maybe this is what he's hearing at home when he's really, really crestfallen and realize that, you know what? If I need to get some on the side, can't I just do it clandestine in a secret manner? Like, all right, think about this. Like, all the politicians that get caught, don't you think they have people that can just set something like this up on the side? You know? Okay. You know, think about like JFK or, you know, any president nowadays or anyone in the office. Couldn't they have a catchphrase, be like, hey, I'm in a mood for oatmeal tonight. And they'd be like, okay, sir, just leave your back door open. I just came up the word oatmeal. I don't know. So, you know, it's like loosely translated, I need some tail. So, you know, it's just taken care of because these NFL players are in a bubble. We all know this. Ever since they graduate high school, hopefully they graduate high school because they have to get into college, and then they're in college for, you know, a few blinks of the eye, and then they get drafted, and again, they're still in that bubble. We've seen movies, we've read many books about this, how they're isolated, how, you know, they get through college and or other trying aspects of life where they're just treated differently because they are valued on the field in terms of a commodity. They're not people, they're commodities viewed by the NFL. And so you would think, and of course, they're given classes and lectures, et cetera, about conduct on the field and off the field. Obviously, there's need to be more attention paid to the conduct and off the field Because when I was thinking about this, you know, in 2015 alone, there have been 31 NFL players arrested. In 2015 alone, including 6 instances of domestic violence. 6. That's crazy. 5 DUIs. All right, all right. You know, 5 DUIs. I kind of can see how that happens. 3 gun and weapons charges. And 1 shocking case of animal abuse. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, what was it? Prince Shembu, Falcons linebacker. Yeah, that's who he was. He killed his ex-girlfriend's 5-pound dog because he was afraid of his life. Yeah, it was out of self-defense. This huge guy was worried about a 5-pound pocketbook dog. It's crazy, right? Here are these guys in the NFL making big money, and they ruin it for themselves. I just don't get it. You know, it's just kind of difficult to comprehend why, you know, they would just subject themselves to such a thing. But then again, you know, with the NFL is worried about like how their balls are inflated. Maybe they need to redirect the focus here. You know, and kind of most of these guys are unpunished by their transgressions, but you know, it really needs to be kind of addressed. Let's have that music again. But in much brighter note, going back to Seal. So I don't know how this originated, but apparently it's pretty cool. I saw it the other day, and I'm like, I got to bring this to you guys, because basically data suggests that winning cities see a rise in births 9 months after Super Bowl Sunday. Get it? A rise in births? So take a listen to this. This is all the babies that were born from 1967 on. Different age group, of course. And there's Seal. Pretty cool, right? Pretty clever. And now Seal is in the background atop of a hill with the backdrop of the Golden Gate Bridge behind him, because, of course, in San Francisco, it was a great backdrop. So it's pretty cleverly done. And the fact that, actually, for the most part, the participants look pretty super stoked, I'd say, to be in that situation. But the, I'd say the 2003 kids look kind of a little bummed out because, you know, being 13 and all. But, I mean, going back to 1967, that's pretty clever, right? So it ends with Football is Family. So it's an NFL production. And, you know, cleverly done. But it just makes me think, like, I don't know. I've never had sex, I don't think, during a Super Bowl or on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, you know, of course, I could have, and I don't remember, because there are many years that kind of have gone by where I don't really remember too much, because I remember actually, I think my freshman year in college, of course, you know, I'm referring to my drug and alcohol use. I think I did so much cocaine during the first Super Bowl that I was in college that I just couldn't sit still to watch the game. I think I had to leave and walk around and walk around and walk around until the high just kind of dissipated. But so I don't think I got it on that night. So certainly I wasn't responsible for any Super Bowl babies. And the two incredible kids I have are far from Super Bowl babies. They're super babies, super kids. So in that notion in mind, I think, you know, of course the NFL has Super Bowl, the term Super Bowl trademarked. You cannot use that as a broadcaster. You have to say the big game. So if like, say 7-Eleven wants to say, come in and get a free Slurpee with, you know, one of those ridiculous hot dogs that's been rolling around for 25 hours. They can't say during Super Bowl Sunday, the big game, get your free yada, yada, yada. So I would suggest to the NFL organization that they also coin the phrase and trademark it Super Sex Bowl. I mean, what the hell? I mean, if all these great things are happening, babies are being born, due to the pigskin. Well, there is a double entendre there. Pigskin, foreskin. Okay, we'll keep it going. Maybe there's something there. But it's just crazy, though, going back to the ill fate of NFL players. You know, we've all read about it. The physical abuse, the DUIs, the shootings, etc. You would just think that these guys would be able to keep it a little bit more in control. It's sad. But some of these players, a lot of these players, come from an upbringing that they just don't know any better. So if they come from inner city and then they get some money in their hand and then they just, you know, live life to the fullest. And in their minds, that would be, you know, of course, involve prostitutions, drugs, guns, etc. But the reality is, a sidebar here, I really think prostitution is just ridiculous that it's legal. It should be legalized. I mean, we got too many other bigger fish to fry in this world. I know we don't really talk politics on the show, but for right now, we're going there. especially in this climate where we're actually in an election year. I mean, think about this. When the White House was being built, okay, George Washington still wasn't living in the house, or not wasn't living in the house, wasn't living in the house because it wasn't built. Okay, on that grounds, on the White House grounds, were plenty of tents, hundreds of tents set up for workers. Do you remember reading about this back in history class? The workers were there, and guess who else was alongside the workers? Yes, hookers. They had to keep these guys going, some incentive to build a great White House. I mean, obviously, we know it's the oldest profession in the world. And you know what? If you make it legal, you can tax it. You can make it safer, you know, less STDs, AIDS, etc. So let's just legalize prostitution because it's never going away. Just like drugs, they're never going away. There's always a need because drugs basically make you feel good. I'm not condoning it, but the reality is, you know, they're very, very dangerous, but people use drugs because it makes them feel good. People have sex because it makes you feel good, right? For a very short period of time or for a very longer period of time. It depends on the partner and a lot of other physiological ramifications, which, you know, you can kind of figure out yourself. Anyway, I was remiss in saying the show is Insight. Yeah, that's right. My name is Mark Farrell. It is Thursday in New York City. Love to hear from you. 888-874-4888. 874-8488. I will one day commit that number to memory. For some reason, I cannot lock that number down in my brain. I have no idea. Oh, I know why. Maybe because I never call it. You need to physically call a number to actually have it committed to memory. But then again, who dials numbers nowadays? Because they're all stored in our phones, right? I couldn't tell you my wife's phone number or anyone else I call all the time because all you have to do is go boop and hit it. Anyway, let's hear Seal again. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Diapers. Crying. And if your team loses, you may cry like a baby too. Ryan Murphy's crying. But Cam is not crying. Quarterback for the Panthers. He's a pretty unique dude, right? Hey, you know what? Good for him. Guy's really talented. So who are you rooting for? The Broncos? Panthers? You want to see Manning, like, retire on top? You know, I kind of feel like if he probably has his mind made up where if he wins a Super Bowl, that's it. He won't announce it during the game because that's kind of stealing the thunder away from the rest of the organization, and that's kind of not fair in my eyes. But I think that he'll wait a couple of weeks, then announce it. But if he doesn't win, I bet you he's going to come back for one more final try. Now, he's got to go with a team that is, like, ready, like Super Bowl bound. And that would be, who would that be? Let me give you some thought, and I'll get back to you in a few minutes. But that would be the deal. That's my prediction, that he, even if he wins, If he wins, he won't retire and make that announcement at the actual reception of the trophy, et cetera, because that would steal the thunder away, and that wouldn't be cool. But if he loses, I think he's going to give him another shot. I don't think he'd go in the same division as his brother, because that would be too weird. They've played against each other before, but I think it'd be just kind of too weird. So, when you were a kid, you had some cool things, right? One of those cool things were Legos. Well, finally, after all this time, after decades of building pirate ships, race cars, and haunted castle, Lego has finally come up with something new. A boy wearing a hat in a wheelchair. That's right. Lego has finally gotten hip to people with disabilities. So the Danish toy maker has unveiled its first ever disabled minifigure. This past week, the figure of a hat-wearing boy in a wheelchair was first spotted at the Nuremberg International Toy Fair in Germany and featured on fan blogs. Now, the company confirmed that the tiny wheelchair will be part of a new Lego City set that will come out in June. But here's the deal. A lot of people are pissed. They are really pissed. They are either very, very happy or pissed. And there's an organization, an online campaign, hashtag toy like me, has called on the company to produce figures that represent disabled children. Its online petition accumulated over 20,000 signatures. And this person actually who started this was going to call into the show today, but with the time difference, she was unable to due to her prior commitment, but we'll try to get her on the show. Basically, a lot of people are just upset about, number one, the fact that it's taken so long for a major toy manufacturer to develop this. And I understand this, but the fact is that it's actually going to be happening and rolled out. It's cool. But until now, disability has been kind of scarcely represented in the toy box, despite the fact that there are 77,000 children in the UK with disabilities and more than 150 million worldwide. Now, it kind of baffles my mind when I think about why a toy maker would wait this long to create such a toy. Because parents buy toys for their kids, whether they have a disability or not. So if there are figures that are disabled, then why wouldn't they have, they would certainly buy them for their kids to make them feel like, yeah, hey, this is reflective or somewhat reflective of who you are as a child. And it's also great for children, every child, because it's reflective of life. Okay, in a kid way, it's reflective of life because people have all kinds of disabilities in life, obvious or not obvious disabilities. I say during my talks at schools and colleges and corporations that we all have disabilities, whether they're real or perceived, obvious or not. And it's what we do with them in life that define us. Okay, but getting back to the miniature figures here that I think all kids should have, they should come out with a Barbie disabled doll. Because the reality is, the far from reality is that a woman who's, I don't know what the actual figure would be in real life size, but we'll say 5'10", completely rail-legged, blue-eyed, blonde doll, should have a disfigurement. Why not, right? She should have a disability. Because there are a lot of beautiful people in this world that have disabilities, obvious disabilities. And with all these people, these potential consumers that are untapped because, 150 million children worldwide have disabilities, I would think the toy companies would be all over this. Are they just afraid that they're going to insult, a member of the disability community? Well, let me tell you something, newsflash. No matter what you do in the disability community, you're going to piss people off. That's just a known fact. Because everyone has their own, I won't say entitlement, but feeling of the right way to be portrayed. The deaf community are really, really a select bunch that feel that they should be portrayed one way. The blind and visually impaired community, another. Paraplegic, quadriplegic, etc. So I think by not going after representing this community. I mean, you can't represent, I guess you could, the hearing impaired community with a Lego figure. Maybe have a cochlear implant, a little hearing aid device in the miniature figure's ear, something of that caliber. But I think you're, you know, kind of doing your company a disservice, because if you're a toy company and you're making all these dolls or toys that could be interchangeable, et cetera, why not have them more reflective of society? Because everything, especially nowadays, I mean, come on. Barbie dolls, Ken dolls, get real. Okay, I think it's kind of cool now we have tech Barbie dolls. Like, my daughter got a tech doll where she's a little bit nerdy, in a hot nerdy way, but she's still nerdy. She's got a little bag, and she's got a little, like, bifocals on, but she's hot. She could be a librarian as well. But, you know, why not have this reflective in Lego as well? So apparently, let me find my notes here. They're so happy that they were crying. The toy maker, if I can find this quote, "We've got genuine tears of joy right now," said campaign organizers after the new toys were unveiled. The new set appears to show a scene in the park with figures of children in the playground. So it's great. I think it's a giant move forward. I don't know why it's taken so long. Maybe it's an obvious thing that I just can't figure out, but I just think that they're so afraid. Companies are so afraid to kind of step on toes of people in the disabled community, especially now that the community, the world, has shrunk in such a gargantuan way because with social media. I mean, here I am, you know, obviously it's the UK is not far, but online I'm reading all about the campaign that received 20,000 signatures that has called for the company to produce figures that represent disabled children. Now, again, as I said before, there are people who are really peeved about how they're being portrayed. And you know what? I'm sure they did focus groups. I don't know if the focus groups actually were complete. What's the word I'm looking for? Reflected people of the disabled community. Every type of person with a disability, major obvious types of disabilities, should have been in a focus group to say, okay, here's the kind of figurine or miniature figure we're thinking of. What do you think? Is this correct? Do you think this is accurately portraying? I mean, you have to keep in mind, it's a Lego. It's a goddamn Lego, correct? Right? But, you know, it can be real to an extent because the imagination of kids is boundless, and for adults. So the reality is, you know, it's got to be somewhat reflective of somebody with a disability. But how reflective of Legos are they of just a regular kid? You know, just a regular kid, you know, able-bodied kid playing in a playground. I mean, it's plastic in weird shapes. So, I mean, how much more close can you get? So I understand that people can get pissed off because, you know what? That's who you are. You have a disability. You want it to be accurately reflected. And maybe they feel that it's being kind of tongue-in-cheek in terms of how Lego is portraying the miniature figure. I don't know. We couldn't get this guest on the phone today to find out. So unfortunately, we'll have to get her back another day. But the fact is that it is happening. It's pretty cool. I tip my hat to Lego. I don't know why it's taking them so long. So then I take my tip of my hat back because they should have done this a long time ago. Every toy manufacturer should be out there, you know, because first of all, if you're not doing it for the possible and proper socioeconomic and or the good of public service to make kids feel inclusive, part of the whole fabric of wherever they live, in school, out of school, friends, and have a disability, then do it because you can make money off of it. The reality is, I mean, toy companies are in the business to make money, just like every other business. So if you're not doing it for the good of children, then do it to make money. Insight continues right after this, and we're going to be talking about mental illness.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
This is Bobby Elias.
And it's Dr. Sarah Larson.
Hosts of Let's Create a Better World. Our show is for your body, mind, and soul. to have the latest, greatest cultural, creative information available.
Join us with our expert guests every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific.
You can also hear our show on the phone at 619-550-0869.
And don't forget about the archives.
We're moving forward on PRN.FM.
And we want you to come with us.
Saturdays, don't forget, every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. Let's create a better world.
The story behind the story, your story, my story, is all in the mix on Lead Stories right here on PRN.FM. This is Utrice Lead inviting you to share your thoughts and opinions and expand your knowledge about critical issues of the day, Monday through Friday, right after Gary Null's show. Listen live to a broadcast or get Lead Stories whenever you want from PRN's archive. You can even rate the show on iTunes. Now pass the word. Tell this story to everyone you know. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Everyone, my name is Beattie Cohan. I want to welcome you to my new Ask Beattie show. I am a psychotherapist, a sex therapist, an author, speaker, columnist, and national radio and television expert guest. We're going to be talking about love, relationships, and sex. We're also going to be discussing mental health issues that we're hearing about in the media. And you will also have an opportunity to call me and ask me about any personal problems that you may be experiencing. So join me on the Progressive Radio Network every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. I'll talk to you then.
This is the number one radio station for progressive independent thinkers, the Progressive Radio Network.
It's Inside on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell. Happy Friday Eve to you. Yeah, I love Thursdays. Feel good. Lots of potential. The weekend ahead of you, yeah, feels good. The Super Sex Bowl. I'm telling you, mark my words, it's going to be worth a lot of money. Hey, so listen, you know, if you're just listening through the break, you heard all the promos for different shows, and I really appreciate you listening to Insight every Thursday, and to Gary Null, who comes on at noon, Monday through Friday. But you have to check out some of these other shows on the network here, because they really are pretty fascinating. Whatever your interest is, chances are we have a show that's going to target that or be very close to it. We'll certainly have, certain aspects, shows that will touch on the subjects of your life that are found, that you find very interesting. Like, I couldn't help but hearing this one woman, I don't know if she has a new show and I didn't catch her name, but she kept talking about sex. All I kept hearing was sex. We're going to be talking about sex. We're going to be doing sex. We're going to be talking about sex. So I think I'm going to be checking out that show. Not that I am a, sex addict or anything, just because I want a super sex bowl. Anyway, I digress. So anyway, you know my history. You listened to the show before. I have a history with mental illness. I had a lot of panic attacks, anxiety, went through depression because unfortunately, when you have anxiety and panic attacks, the doctors don't know why, but your brain chemistry is so irregular that it turns into depression. And depression is just a seriously ugly, disgraceful, and horrible thing for anyone to experience. I don't wish it upon my worst enemy. It's, when people say it's a dark, dark day, it really is. And I was very, very fortunate to feel that I am wired to be optimistic, kind of a half glass full type of person. And for people who are not by nature, I think it's even so much more challenging. Even on my worst days, when I said to myself, like, I'd be waiting on a New York City subway platform to go to work and subway would be approaching, I would envision myself jumping in front of a subway. Now, that's kind of a scary thought, even just to say this after all these years. But I knew in the back of my mind I wouldn't do this. It was just my mind kind of exercising this thought. It's so bizarre, right? I mean, to think that, we all have bizarre thoughts and you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. And it kind of like moves on and you never think about it again, or maybe it comes up again every so often, very, very frequently. When something like that comes up where self-harm is the issue, it can really rock your world big time. So, you know, so getting help is so abundantly apparent. And so many people are just scared to because they feel that it makes them appear weak to other people. But you got to know that we, no matter what you do, I mean, if you have a broken arm, you're not going to walk around with a broken arm for a month and try to hide it from people, or a broken leg, or, you know, some herniated disc in your back. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a medical condition, just like any other medical condition. You know, I just got a letter in the mail. This is kind of scary, right? I got home yesterday, just a letter from me, for me, from the blood bank. It says I have hepatitis B. I'm opening the letter. I'm like, oh my God, what is this going to say? Of course, in my mind, back in my mind, I'm going like, oh my God, this is going to say I have AIDS? You know, all the, you know, casual sex I had for so many years when I was, you know, inebriated. But no, I have hepatitis B. And it's, I think I got this letter like a decade and a half ago from another blood center. And I don't know whether it's their inaccurate testing, but I went and got another blood test. It said I did not have hepatitis B. Anyway, it's just something that you have these antibodies in your body. That doesn't mean you actually have the live virus. Anyway, so going back to mental health, I mean, it's something that is rampant. Chances are you will experience something in your life of anxiety, panic attacks, depression, or some form of that. And the reason why I bring this up, because it's just so sad to hear, you know, people when they take their life. Yesterday at the GW Bridge, George Washington Bridge, a 25-year-old New Jersey woman, she astonishingly survived the 200-foot plunge. And I think one of her legs is pretty much shattered and may not be saved. They may have to amputate her leg. But a security guard on the bridge, you know, spotted her. And then I guess a boat, like about 7 minutes later, was able to scoop her up, pluck her up from the water. And she was taken to hospital. But, you know, surviving the fall is extremely rare. I think it happened, or particularly in this bridge, in 2009, a 29-year-old gentleman named Adrian Ron from Massachusetts. He jumped, survived, and then he swam to the U.S. Naval Academy's water polo team. Survived. And swam to the New Jersey side, but he was on the water polo team, so I guess that's why he was so strong in the water. And I remember seeing a video not too long ago, and actually I know somebody who actually tried to take their life, and they were so scared and so distraught when they actually tried this act. But once the act was in motion, for example, this one gentleman jumped from a parking garage that I knew personally, haven't been in touch with him for probably 15 years. He jumped from a parking garage and it wasn't high enough. I guess it was 4 or 5 stories. And he survived. And he's spending the rest of his life in a chair. He's very happy that he survived because it just taught him an invaluable lesson about how extremely precious and invaluable life is. And we know this. But for, you know, people who are depressed, you know, you have such blinders on, you have such tunnel vision, you cannot see anything else. You think you're doing other people a favor by not being a nuisance, not being troublesome, by being that person who's clinically depressed, or maybe not clinically depressed, I mean, or not diagnosed as clinically depressed, but you know that person's clinically depressed. And it's really sad because, you know, chances are they can, you know, get past this. They just need medical assistance. They need therapy, possibly medication, both. There are ways to, you know, overcome this, get out of the woods. So when I hear about the woman who jumped on Monday, actually, you know, it breaks my heart. It really is sad. But hopefully, actually, I just read about this. We had this gentleman on my show a couple months ago, who jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge. And once he said his fingers left that bar, that railing, he knew, oh, man, this is a tragic, tragic mistake. I wish I could take it back. And a lot of people actually, lucky for him, have coronaries, heart attacks on the way down because of just the fear and the scariness aspect of it. But he was very fortunate not to have any of those happen and also to survive. So it's going to be interesting to find out how her perspective will change. Just something like this, I don't know if there's actual studies done, whether physiologically in the brain, Is there a chemical change instantly when something like an act of this caliber takes place and they survive? A person does not die by suicide. They actually survive. And there's a term, survivors of suicide, which is kind of misleading because I am a survivor of suicide because my brother took his life. You would think it's the people who actually tried to take their lives are survivors of suicide. No, those people who are survivors of suicide actually took their, or tried to, they attempted to take their life. So if you hear somebody who is a survivor of suicide, that means they lost somebody in their life to suicide. It is misleading, kind of the lingo that's in the mental health or mental illness area. And this is also very sad. A 16-year-old boy jumped in front of a Metro North train on Monday. A sophomore, 16 years old at Fordham Prep. And this is kind of a contagion because this is a second boy, or actually person, I'm not sure if this person was a teenager, to die on those tracks in the last several weeks. Again, that's heartbreaking. 16 years young. Wow. I mean, so much life ahead of him. And with, I don't know if he was, you know, under a physician's care, whether it was talk therapy, medication, etc. But it's tragic. And almost as tragic as that boy's life being cut short by decades is the fact that there was an MTA employee heard remarking on the train. Now, imagine this, being on the train, being stuck, or the train's moving after being, you know, stopped for hours and hours. Quote, "Someone got killed. I hope he suffered like a mother blank." End quote. Can you believe that? So, 16-year-old kid jumped in front of a train, sophomore at Fordham Prep, you know, obviously completely, completely desperate, thought this is the only way out. And an MTA, totally insensitive, MTA employee, that's the Metropolitan Transit Authority employee, was heard remarking live on the public address system on the train, throughout the train, multiple cars, quote, "Someone got killed. I hope he suffered like a mother blanker," end quote. Can you imagine being on the train? And obviously, you know what's going on. I think they usually say there's an injury or an incident of personal nature or something like that. So the word gets spread, and maybe obviously you can see if you're in the upper trains what's going on to a certain degree. But, you know, passengers say that workers comment on the PA system often, and they don't realize that their mic is live, their mic is hot throughout the train. So I imagine this MTA worker is going to be disciplined. There needs to be sensitivity classes rolled out for all MTA employees, maybe for Amtrak, any person in this situation where, you know, unfortunately, where suicides are commonplace, especially in areas where there's an outbreak, a contagion. There needs to be, you know, frequent reminders to employees. And I don't want to get off point here, because the point is not that we had an asshole conductor on a train. The point is a 16-year-old boy took his life. That's the point. And that's sad, because it's really, really unnecessary. Now, here goes such opportunity. And you can imagine the parents, the poor parents, the siblings of this boy. Oh, my God. And also for the 25-year-old girl who jumped off the GW Bridge yesterday. Now, interestingly enough, I couldn't find this information quickly, as I just thought about it a few minutes before the show kicked off, that there was not legislation, but the Port Authority has put up a lot of money to put up fencing. I think it's almost like construction fence, you know, that like mesh type of material that the Golden Gate Bridge put up years ago. And now the George Washington Bridge is also going to follow suit. But I think it's either costing so much money, they have to raise the money or allocate it, have it earmarked, or it just takes so long to install. So obviously, I would say throughout a given year, there are probably about, I'd say, 10 to 20 jumpers off the GW Bridge a year. That's a lot. So this mesh has not been installed, the safety fence. There are signs that I believe the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention was behind in terms of pushing for this to be installed on different, places throughout the bridge, maybe every 500 feet or so. I mean, it's a pretty big bridge. So there's a sign that says maybe if you need assistance or if you're contemplating, I don't know what the information actually says, but it's pretty direct. And I believe there's a phone right there that they can pick up a phone and actually it goes right to 911 or maybe another emergency office. But I mean, that's a great idea. But the reality is, I think someone who's actually witnessing this is more likely to pick up the phone versus the person who's actually pontificating this, musing about jumping off the bridge. From what I read, as a matter of fact, the story I was just alluding to a few minutes ago about the gentleman who was on a GW bridge who did jump and survive, he was up there for some time. I don't know how long, maybe half hour, 45 minutes, where a tourist actually came up to him and said, "Hey, would you mind taking my picture?" And he actually said, "Yeah, sure." He took his picture. But he was up there for quite some time. So the George W. GWB has a pedestrian pathway that you can bike across, walk across, run, etc. It's a great aspect of connecting both states. It's fun. It's beautiful. You can walk. You can stroll. You can just really take in the majestic views. But unfortunately, it's an opportunity for someone to take their life. So with the advent of the safety fencing going to be installed, until then, you know, you can't stop somebody from taking their life. It's unfortunate. It really is, because if someone really wants to take their life, you can't guard them 24/7, even when people are in facilities, hospitals, psychiatric facilities. It happens all the time. People take their life. Okay, this is getting really, really heavy here. So we need to hear the NFL theme music one more time and talk about Super Sex Bowl. That's right. Shake it out. Little reprieve. My name is Mark Farrell. The show's Insight. Thanks, as always, to listen. Gary Noll is next, the owner, founder, and host of PRN. You can always find my shows on PRN.fm. Go under Insights or my name, Mark Farrell. You can hear this show on podcasts and all the other shows. And have a great day. Have a great Super Bowl. Talk to you next Thursday.